Keep Rain Man Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make great content and offer even better features in the future. Help us keep the lights on in the studio by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/rainmandigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to them.
Superman.
I'm sorry.
You are here. The lesser of Hastia compels me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Hands. Lightning with my hands.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Welcome to DC on RMD, Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital. Find us on demand on your favorite podcast provider and remember to subscribe, rate, and review. I'm your host, Lauren. It's just me and Bob in the studio today.
Yep, yep.
Today we're going to talk Supergirl Season 5, Episode 8, The Wrath of Ramakan. This one's interesting. basically, Alex is torn between, like, killing Lena or using Malefic to stop it. It's a whole thing. Basically, Alex wants to kill Lena, maybe? Not fully, but, like, maybe. You're not ruling it out, and Supergirl's just like, I can save her! Wait, I can save her! It's the thing. It's a time. This episode was directed by Marcus Stokes, written by Lindsay Sterman and Jess Cardos. Man. Lena's going just full-on, like, villain, not villain.
I'm not a villain.
I'm not a villain, so don't treat me like one.
If I say I'm not a villain and I do villainous stuff, does that make me not a villain?
No, you're definitely a villain. Like, she has these good intentions, but I feel like every villain has this idea that they are the good guy, you know?
Yeah.
Especially ones that actually kind of have, like, well-intentioned plans. Like, they think they're the savior.
It's what I believe. It's not what you believe.
We saw it this same week of episodes with The Flash, where the villain in that current season, he says, you know, I'm the hero here. Like, I'm not the villain. I'm the hero. I'm trying to save these people. And then even at the end of this episode, Lex talking to the Monitor.
Mm-hmm.
The Monitor offers him. We all know that Lex Luthor's greatest wish is to be revered as a hero by Earth. He wants to be revered as a greater hero than Superman. He believes that he is the hero. And the Monitor says, you know, hey, I'm offering you the chance to be the hero that you've always wanted to be. And he just comes back with, I am the hero. Like, all right, man. No, you're not. But, like, cool.
You know, this was the only episode that really had something to do with the crossover that wasn't repeated on all the rest of the episodes.
Right? Just over and over and over.
Yeah. I was like, oh, something different going to happen? No. No. Okay. I'm going to get that same intro every time.
We're going to die every time, and we're just going to keep prepping everyone for someone's death, and that's going to be it. No, granted, you know, whatever. Episodes have still been good and stuff, but
They're not prepping enough for the crossover.
Yeah.
But this Alex thing, I feel bad for her because it's like, Kara is like the one that wants to adopt every kitten puppy at the pound. And sometimes things just have to happen, you know, and
you cannot save every single person that needs saving. What you can do is just save every person that you're able to save.
Yeah.
You know, like you can save some people and you can make a huge impact. You can't save every single person.
Yeah. For that one person. She's my friend. I was like, your friend's about to do some fucked up shit to everybody.
She says she hates you. She doesn't think you're friends anymore.
She just doesn't know.
I can still save her. What are you going to say to her that's going to change her mind?
Yeah.
If you could save her, if you could talk sense into her or convince her that your words are heartfelt, that's not going to happen for probably 5 years.
Especially
she needs time to heal.
Especially at this point when you were a hollow projected into the bunker.
Yeah.
And we uploaded a virus while that was happening.
Yeah, Alex killed any shot Kara had. Like,
yes.
There's no chance now.
So sorry about that. I know you had some belief in me that I was here to talk to you. But yeah, I was just they backdoored something.
I'd be so mad at Alex for that. And I would absolutely throw her under the bus. I'd be like, that wasn't me. Alex did it. She used me. Like, rah. Because she just ruined any chance of Lena ever believing Kara. Like, she was close. Yeah. You know, she's still shut down, but she was close. And Alex killed that in that instant. And I know she has to do her job. But that's, yeah, I feel bad for Alex. She's stuck in a really rough spot between, like, I know what my duties are. And I know what I have to do to follow through with that and protect the world in the way that I know how and I'm able to, while taking minimal risks. But also, I know this person and this sucks.
I have a responsibility, though. And then it's even worse when she turns to John and is like, John, what can you do for, like, what would you do? It's like, you're the one that's trained me in all this. And she's looking for anybody and anybody to give her, like, an answer, and it's up to her.
I think she was just looking for
some kind of support somewhere.
Some understanding, because she knows that he's had to have been through similar-ish situations where it's like, this is what I feel is right in my heart because I have a soft spot for this person, or I feel like maybe I can save them. But here is what I know that I should be doing by protocol and logic. And it's just also, I mean, I think emotions too were high because of the whole Malefic thing, because he did. He took over Alex's body and mind, and he threatened her girlfriend, and like, that was a whole thing. She doesn't trust him for shit. Like,
yeah. Well, I wouldn't either. I mean, yeah, she was justified. Reasonable. Like, oh, we're going to use his mind waves to offset the mind waves that are coming in. I'm going to trust this guy.
Right.
And then I got to shut off my safety device so he gets enough power. I honestly was like, in my heart of hearts, I wanted this to turn out so bad for them. Like, I wanted them to take off their things and then him just be bad. I don't know why. I just thought maybe it's because we haven't had a Supergirl kind of end on like a mopey ending.
Yeah.
To where you're going into the second half of the season going, oh, fuck, I don't know what's really going to happen.
I mean, it ended pretty mopey, though, this week. And I mean, now we've got, like, it ended basically, other than the Martian stuff, it ended with, like, Kara and Lena both looking at the same picture of the two of them. And, like, Kara's just crying.
A Nickelback video started playing over the side.
Look at this photograph. I do feel sorry for Kara. Because she, and I'm glad Alex gave her that pep talk at the end where she was talking about, you know, hey, you not telling her your secret identity, that wasn't born out of malice or distrust for her necessarily. You know, it was out of love and fear and protection. And, you know, you were also protecting her from people that could potentially use that against her. Because not only is Lena, I don't know, like a desirable asset to begin with. You know, if someone's going to be doing like corporate, if someone's going to be doing like corporate espionage or like, I don't know, crazy supervillain things, and they kidnap the head of a corporation, you know, Lena's by, I don't know, if we're like measuring power and influence, she's probably a pretty good choice to mess with.
Yeah.
And then if you add on top of that, that she knows who Supergirl is, people are going to come after her like crazy.
Yeah, she's easier to get to than Supergirl.
So, yeah,
no, it's definitely understandable. It's just, it's been a while since we've seen Alex in one of those like struggle bus moments of what do I do?
Yeah, honestly. I will say the most impressive thing that happened this week was their ability to leave out a character when there wasn't room for them. Neo wasn't in this entire episode.
Was she in last week?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm trying to remember.
Can't remember. That was last week. I don't know what happened last week.
I don't remember what we talked about in Batwoman, so.
Yeah. And we just finished that show. But, I mean, honestly, I love Neo. I'm always happy to have her in the episodes. I'm always happy to see her. However, if she doesn't serve much of a purpose, there's no reason to write in garbage fluff filler.
Or some kind of, you know, her and Brainy type thing.
Fighting again. Yeah. Just to fit her in for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary. And it's honestly like, I will be so much happier to see her back on the screen the next time she's on screen where it's, you know, she's a part of that particular
story. And impactful. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the most impressive thing this week.
That doesn't say a lot for this show.
No, it's just this show is I think as far as the ensemble cast, it's one of the weakest that in terms of trying to shove in every character into every episode and make us care equally about what each character is doing instead of focusing on the main character and like maybe one or two other characters for an episode and then like alternating or having them all like be in a group together.
They've made it too much Super Friends lately instead of just Supergirl and Friends.
Yeah, exactly. So, and some of them don't have anything interesting going on. Like Nia doesn't really have anything interesting going on except for her relationship with Brainy. And
Brainy was busy.
Yeah. And Brainy was busy. And then
baby, I can't take a call. I'm trying to do some shit here to save the world.
When Kara is working in an investigative way and Nia's helping her out with scoops and stuff like that, that's a great dynamic. I want to see more of that. That's awesome. You know, checking in with Nia at her desk at Catco while she's like holding down the fort because she's not in the same position as Kara. Like she's a newer journalist, so she's like confined to her desk all day and stuff. Great dynamic. I love it. I want more of that. But yeah, it just isn't necessarily required to have her in every scene of every episode or whatever. Like you don't need to cram everyone in. We will be more excited to see them when we're like, oh, yay. Hey, what have you been up to? Like, that's cool. Awesome. Let's get into the plot. Instead of like, cool. Are we going to just see more of an argument between two people dating?
Yeah. Two people that don't really know themselves real well.
Hey, DC on RMD listeners. If you love our shows, please share with your friends and review. With every share and or review, you help our show climb those charts. Wherever you listen, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, or Google Play, remember to share those links each and every episode. So, Rama Khan.
Behind every disaster known to man?
But then, somehow kind of a bitch?
Yeah.
That's... And maybe he hasn't had anyone opposing him before, but...
Or he hasn't failed before?
Maybe he's just getting old. Maybe that's what it is. He's been around for a couple million years. Pompeii was his last greatest achievement, we'll call it.
Is it one of those things like old sports stars? Like, you remember them for the great thing that they did 30 years ago, but haven't done shit since? Right. Or actors, let's say.
That's totally how they're treating it. That's absolutely how, God, I don't even know what her name is. The woman down in the little Leviathan lounge. Their little secret headquarters.
Yeah. Is that a problem? Okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it a problem that we don't know names right now and we're this far in?
I mean, she's the only person I think I don't know the name of.
Okay.
Because everyone else that's popped up has just been kind of like, yeah, they're a part of Leviathan. Okay. And like their particular identity doesn't matter. Like the old lady. Mm-hmm. She didn't matter. It was what she like was representing that mattered.
Okay.
Which is Leviathan. I just don't remember her name. And I don't remember if I think he said it once, but that's kind of it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But,
are they doing this storyline any justice? Or does it just feel like everything's forced in right now?
I'm hoping it will get better.
That wasn't an answer. That wasn't an answer! I like peanut butter. What?
So I don't think it's terrible, but I'm not super jazzed about it either. Like it was cooler earlier on in the season. And like when Akrata started doing stuff and being a shadow assassin and I was like, yeah, this is cool. I'm into this. Like, I was more excited about it. And now maybe it was just even this episode that just like bummed me out. I'm like, all right, cool. So you just want to like melt the earth so that I don't know. I'm just not excited about it at all. I think Rama Khan
The whole time when the volcano is coming up, I'm like, that thing would flood because it's pushing all that water out.
Right. And then it doesn't. So it's fine, I guess. I don't know. I have found that between the two of them, between the blonde lady that usurped Rama Khan's position, and Rama Khan himself.
Yagamini.
Excuse me? What did you just call me?
Yes. I called you Granny Me. I don't know. Gamemnae. That's her name.
I stopped listening. So sorry.
Yeah, all right. I'd stop listening to me too lately.
Okay. I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. I think between the two of them, in their interactions together, I find her more compelling. And he's not a bad actor.
No.
But I just don't believe that he's really given it his all to take down the humans. I don't know. He absolutely, I'm just like, all right, old timer, step aside.
Well, because remember, we originally thought that this was going to be some kind of like technological.
Well, she takedown. Is. She is.
Her plan is finally going to get there where these contacts and everything somehow take over.
Because she, okay, so.
You know, the storyline we've been calling for since
think about their conversations that they were having. And he's just like, nope, we do this my way. We do this the way we've always done it. And she goes, you know, hey, it hasn't been working.
Sounding like an old man.
You know that, like, I have a plan and it could work. Maybe it's time we try it. And he was like, we're not trying your technology. And she's like, my technology is ready. Like, this can work. You know, humans aren't the same as they've always been. We can use technology to our advantage. So, yeah, she has a technology-based plan to, like, rid the world of at least the majority of the human race.
So it's the storyline. The second half of this is the storyline that they should have started episode two. And it probably would have weighed out, like worked out a lot better than it actually has. I think when we deal with this earth based, you know, this earth mover, you know, combined with the staff and everything else going on, what you deal with is bad special effects. With technology, they've always been able to do stuff that makes it look cool, you know, especially with the context that we've seen so far, where you could see people getting taken over and like mass suicides or something like crazy and like
exactly
that.
The thing that Lena is trying to do, except not nice.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe Lena and this woman will come into contact with each other. And I don't know. But I mean, I am looking forward to the next half of the season a bit more. This has absolutely hit a lull for me. I am hoping to see more of Akrata, but I'm also not really counting on it. But like maybe she'll join Supergirl for a minute, you know, and help out with some stuff and then like disappear. Because that's kind of in line with her storylines have been in the comics. So, hey, who knows? But yeah, I mean, it's been up and down for me. I've mostly been invested in this. We were a little bummed first couple episodes of like, where's Leviathan? Where's the mention of the actual villains? Since the initial mention of Leviathan this season, they've jumped right into it. They've gotten into it. And we've had some solid episodes since then.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I think, was just kind of a flop for me in a lot of areas of it.
Yeah.
Especially
being this is your lasting memory of 2019 Supergirl.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't think we needed Rama Khan when we could have just jumped to the other villain who's taking his place.
Yeah.
Did we need to waste the time on that? Why set him up at all?
No.
You only have so much time to sell me your story each week and keep me invested.
Especially for casting an actor that's recognizable.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they got somebody good to be the big bad.
At the very least, you would recognize him from Supernatural probably.
Yeah.
You know, being on the same network and stuff. So I don't know. But, you know, Leviathan's still there. We've still got more stuff going on. I'm going to be optimistic about the rest of it because I do find this this woman who's taking over the whole Leviathan stuff to be compelling. I think she's more manipulative than she was leading us to believe initially. I think she's more crafty and calculating. And I think she's going to cause some problems for Team Supergirl. So I'm excited. Let's talk about the like crossover related stuff now. So John at the end of the episode sends his brother off. They've reconciled. His brother's trying to figure out how to just be a decent person and like make up for the bad things that he's done.
And a mention of McGon.
Yeah, and a mention of McGon. He sends him to Mars to go help because he has insight on the White Martians. You know, he could be the one to help stop the war. Sends him off in his super cool old vintage car spaceship, and a monitor pops up in monitor fashion. And like, I loved this whole situation because I feel like out of all the people that he's just like popped up to, John's the one that has no idea who he is.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you?
So he's just like, good job. You passed. What? Who are you? Like,
didn't know I was taking the test, sir.
Didn't know anyone was testing me. I don't even know who you are. Just like, yeah, I was testing you. You passed. Yeah, good job. Your vulnerabilities are your strength. All right, buddy, tone it down.
I let your brother out.
Yeah, like, what? All right.
Well, that could have went horribly wrong.
Well, I mean, that's what the monitor does. Leading into Crisis.
Yeah.
He, like, in the
everybody
comic,
has a test.
Yeah, well, he supplied villains with, like, weapons and stuff like that in the comics to just set particular things into motion and to test certain heroes and villains and stuff like that to decide who was going to be imperative to stopping Crisis. So that is actually 100%, like, not that, like, it's not taken directly from the comics in the sense of like, oh, Martian Manhunter's brother, Malefic, was blah, blah, blah. Like this little chunk of story wasn't that, but like the actions that he's taking, you know, releasing certain villains or supplying villains with what they need to cause chaos and then pulling heroes that he's like, ah, you passed my test. Like that's absolutely a monitor thing to do. So, surprise, surprise, though, like Jean is the one that is going to be the connector to this whole crossover.
Yeah,
that's actually an interesting little tidbit there, because it's usually like Barry calls Kara and says, hey, we need you. Like that's normally what happens.
Yeah. Oh, the multiverse thing's going off. Well, I got to jump over there. See you guys later. Bye.
And what's funny is Supergirl actually got an additional scene that's not in the other stuff,
yeah,
and seems to have a little bit of impact and relevance, whereas Batwoman got the Supergirl treatment and just got like the last 5 seconds of the episode are the intro to the crossover, and it's the same scene that's in like all the ends of the other episodes too. So, I'm interested to see how they go over to the other Earth, whether the monitor is just gonna be like, yo, go to Earth 1. That's where you got to go. Go meet up with your buddies.
I think they meet in Earth 38.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Okay.
It was in the preview.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, that was interesting to me, I guess. I'm kind of glad to see someone else being utilized, especially because Martian Manhunter is one of the most powerful heroes.
Yeah.
So
you would expect him to be one of the big ones that they need.
Yeah, big guns. So that's, I'm very, very hyped for that. But I also like, I don't know what to expect for our Supergirl heroes. I know we're going to see a lot of Superman stuff and that's neat, but
like 7 of them.
Yeah. Right. But I don't know. And are we going to get to see McGon again? Maybe, probably not, but like, that'd be cool.
We'll see.
Probably not. They're going to focus on Superman's.
Just keep throwing characters out there.
Okay, so thoughts on the first half of the season? Do you want to go first or?
It's been very uneven. Like every time I think they're kind of getting their shit together, they take a step back. I didn't think I wouldn't like a season any worse, like worse
less
or less
than last year.
And what was going on with the Children of Liberty. And I think I am there with this just because it's so confusing of a storyline, and I don't feel like they've made any movement in 8 hours of television. This has been one of the weaker first halves, and honestly, it's kind of showing in the ratings that, you know, this one's dropping. And what I worry about is that when you're not even pulling a million with Supergirl, and you have the Superman show starting possibly next year, you know, what does it mean for Supergirl here? That shit needs to get together real quick.
Yeah, focus your energy on the shows that actually currently exist.
Yeah.
And keeping them on the air and keeping them
instead of
positive and, like, you know, with viewers and everything, rather than
peeling off talent and sending them to other shows. And I think that's what's happening is that Vancouver talent pool's getting kind of thin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, honestly, this has been a struggle bus for me for these first 8 episodes. So,
yeah, I feel like I have mixed feelings, and my opinions bounce up and down and back and forth with each episode that happens. We'll have a really solid episode, and then we'll just be like, well, what the hell is this next week? You know, like the following week, we'll just be like, why is this happening? Yeah. Yeah. And then the next week, it'll be like, all right, cool. Yeah. Okay. I feel like I actually emotionally understand this character's motivations now that maybe I should have understood from the beginning. And then the next episode will be like, okay, well, this is dumb now. It's inconsistent, and that's hurting it a lot. That's hurting the show overall. It's hurting the viewer ratings. They need to be more consistent. They need to take a page out of Batwoman's book and have a consistent, concise story arc. Focus on Supergirl. Focus on Supergirl.
Who's Supergirl again?
Right. Focus on her and the main villainous arc. Stop having multiple villains. Unless it's just like a villain of the week thing for, you know, to fill a spot while, like, whatever is happening, like, that can work sometimes, totally fine. But we don't need to have Leviathan and Lena being villains, and now Supergirl has no one to turn to, like, blah blah blah. Like, there's all of these things happening, and they don't need to all happen at once. I don't care about Brainy and Nia's relationship woes. I don't.
No.
It's all that is Alex's baby drama 2.0.
Yeah, 100%.
And we don't need it. Cover, you know, all the stuff that's been happening with Alex's relationship this season has worked with the story and has been resolved, like, quickly, like, within the episode. Like, hey, I thought about what you said. You're right. I could be more like this, or I wasn't thinking about how you were feeling, or blah, blah, blah. And they talk about it like adults and resolve the issue. But it usually, like, all the stuff with Kelly has tied into the story and the overall plot of what's going on. And Brainy and Nia has just been a distraction, honestly.
Yeah.
And we basically shipped that couple, you know, like, it was cute. I appreciate that they're dating, but it's not being written well enough to be integral to the story or to be important. So we don't need to see them argue.
Nope.
And granted, we haven't been seeing that for like 2 episodes.
She hasn't been on.
Yeah. So it just, I don't know.
She comes back and is like, hey, you haven't talked to me in 3 weeks. What the fuck's going on?
Find things for Nia to do.
Use her power somehow.
Yeah. I mean, she stopped the, like, big tsunami wave, and that was basically it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she's done this season. So, I don't know. It's a bummer. They're underusing her, but also I don't want them to force using her if it's not necessary.
No, you don't need to be a crutch.
Be smart about how you use your characters and when they're relevant. We've got such a large ensemble cast. We were happy to see James Olsen leave. And not because we hated him at that point, but just because, like, whew, one less person.
And he did enough.
And yeah, and he did enough. He reached the end of his road with Supergirl. And then, you know, he kind of got replaced by Kelly, but she was relevant to the story because she's working for Obsidian and stuff, too. So that kind of worked out. But I just... It's been messy.
Yep.
It's been messy. They need to clean it up. Tighten it up. All right. With that, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk our final thoughts on this episode.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN. Because without it,
no free stuff.
That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
The Rain Man Show.
The Rain Man Show.
Installed on loaded
stuff. Did you Wikipedia this?
No.
So you have directions on how to install a sex wing properly.
I know how to install a sex wing, yes.
Have you installed one before?
Was it for you?
No, I did not use it.
You see this in this old house?
Was it for your cat?
Was it for your dog?
It was my anniversary present to my mother and my stepdad.
Jeez, I love holy.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
All right, we are back. Bob, final thoughts on this kind of mid-season finale?
I'm gonna go 62. Yeah, and I feel high on that one. Just because it was a lot of stuff going on, I almost feel like the Lena thing, you know, could have been the mid-season finale where they're just trying to stop her not having like the dual thing going
team
on.
Team splitting up to go fight two different villains.
Yeah, where we could have watched the struggle between Kara and Alex and how Alex, you know, is trying to save a city while Kara is trying to save a friend and a city. You know, having that struggle and then have Lena sitting there at the end doing, you know, go off into the first half, just dealing with her problems and Kara dealing with their problems. And I think it just would have worked out better than bringing in that second villain, you know, for the threat to the city.
Yeah. I mean, at least at this point, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's just a mess. I think overall for this episode in particular, it's just I really cared about some parts and I wanted to empathize and sympathize with characters and had a hard time really getting into doing that because it was just so back and forth and all over the place.
Yeah. So what do you give it?
So for me, I think I'm going to go with a 60.
Okay.
I don't think it was a strong episode. I'm glad that things are wrapped up. Malefic is, you know, off to Mars, so he's dealt with, taken care of, no longer an enemy. Lena is stalled indefinitely. You know, like Myriad is back in the hands of the DEO / Supergirl. Hope / Eve is in FBI custody. Lena's off the hook, so she can still pursue her evil ways, but she's kind of at a standstill right now. She's got to start from scratch, and Leviathan stuff is, I hope it becomes more compelling, because I really didn't care about Ramacan in any way, shape, or form. I didn't find him threatening. I didn't find him impressive. I don't dislike the actor at all. I just don't think that was a good character, and I don't think we needed him at all.
Okay. So,
60 for me. And that's going to do it for today's DC on RMD Supergirl edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on RMD episodes on DCOnRMD.com. And we will see you for crossover crisis craziness. Starts next week.
Mother of God, would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.